In the KSRO kitchen, I'm Steve Gardner, and there, in all her splendor, is Emily Ash Lamb.
Well, now that's nice to hear. Thanks, well, Steve. You in your splendor as well.
Yeah. So do you have plans tomorrow for Easter with the family or no?
Well, you know, I've got teenagers. Oh. They're not doing any egg hunts, which is sort of relieving. We're doing a little brunch. We're having a little family brunch. So just a little hangout.
Did the boys used to look for Easter eggs?
Oh, yeah. That was a big deal. Yeah. Yeah. And we would dye eggs and we'd have lots of eggs around. And then we'd also do the, you know, chocolate and the little eggs and the whole bit.
Nice.
Yeah.
And did you and your brother do that as kids also?
There's a lot of pictures of Tyler and I doing this. Yeah. And my sweet mom would sew us Easter outfits. And,
oh, no.
Oh, yeah. It was, you know, they were sort of boho Easter, I will say. But they
were bohemian style?
You know, they had some like antique lace and some hanging ribbons and things. Yeah, but,
like something you'd see someone wearing on Haight Street in San Francisco.
You know, my parents met in San Francisco, so, you know, they brought that with them.
I love that. But did you bring any photos or do you have them on
I didn't bring any photos, but there are some pretty good ones. I am remembering like a corduroy vest on Tyler and some, you know, they're not hush puppy shoes. What are the shoes?
Hush puppies?
Is that what they're called?
Hush puppies.
Is that what it was?
Yeah, hush puppies.
I hesitated because I'm like, that's not right.
That's what they were called.
Yeah, anyway.
And with ears, too? I mean, did you put costumes with bunny ears?
We didn't dress up. No, we were more scavenging in our, attire. Yeah, so,
well,
anyway.
Your dad, when we would talk about Mother's Day and Easter, he'd roll his eyes because at the restaurant.
Right. Anyone working in the restaurant biz, I would say Valentine's Day, Mother's Day, and Easter were by far my least favorite, even more so than Thanksgiving or Christmas. Give me those any day because the expectations were just so high and you were just going for volume.
Yeah.
And the menu was usually abbreviated and people were not happy about that. You know, anyway, it was always a pretty solid nightmare.
Well, your dad used to rant about that, saying, you'd have gallons of hollandaise sauce everywhere. And you would just be slamming out Benedict's as fast as possible. And he said it was always hard. He said, we made good money, everyone dreaded it because there was a lot of emotional pressure when people bringing mom out, 100%. Family coming for Easter, and you want it to be perfect, and it was always difficult.
And I think people might think that dinner is probably the most difficult to prepare for a chef, but I would ask 100 chefs and see what they say if they don't agree that brunch is more challenging, especially because of the egg. People want their eggs a certain way. They're very particular, and eggs are not... They can be easy, they can be tricky. So,
yeah.
And people seem to think that for breakfast or brunch, they can make as many alterations to the menu as they want, and somehow it's acceptable with which dinner. It doesn't seem to be quite as much that way. But
now,
anyway.
You're listening to Emily in a long, many, many years as an experienced server working in front and behind the house. So
I'm venting. Sorry.
That's right. But your dad loved eggs.
Oh, he loved them.
Oh, did he love eggs?
Oh, that's his go-to. Yeah,
it was always.
It really was. Eggs and rice. I feel like those were his kind of staples.
One of the pivotal moments was when I was over Dad's house and he was making eggs. Mm-hmm. And he said, try these. And I tried them and I said, oh my God, these are the best scrambled eggs I've ever had in my life.
But were they really soft?
They were really soft.
Because he liked a very soft scrambled egg.
But I loved them because I would always make them really hard and dry and then for a scrambled egg. He said, no, slow.
You got to go slow.
Turn that heat to lowest setting and just slowly scramble them. And the texture was ethereal.
It really was. And he would always take them out of the pan much earlier than I thought because they do keep cooking. They really keep cooking for a minute or so. Even just straight from the pan to the plate, it's going to change texture.
Well, we have posted some of the egg recipes that you took from Dad's
vault.
From Dad's the vault.
From the vault.
Why don't we kick it off? Start us with the first one.
Sure. I did a pretty classic one just because we're thinking of Easter, and I like Easter stuff that's not too tricky and that are usually crowd pleasers. The first one is a trio of deviled eggs. Who doesn't like a deviled egg, right? And especially if they're if they've not been sitting in a cold case for a long time, they're pretty tasty. But the first one is his mother's deviled egg, which is a pretty classic one with a little dried mustard, a little horseradish, celery salt. I love me some celery salt.
I love celery salt.
I really do, too. And a little brandy.
By the way, it's the secret to our coleslaw.
Oh.
The celery salt.
Yeah, I could see that.
Go ahead.
The next one is a smoked salmon deviled egg that he actually does a little cream cheese and salmon with the yolk and blends those together until smooth, which kind of surprised me. So it really turns into like a pinkish, kind of a beautiful color in there. And then you get all that nice smokiness of the smoked salmon and topped with a little chive, a little Worcestershire and things in there. And the last one is, you know, if you're getting fancy, a little truffle deviled egg. You can throw a little truffle oil when you're blending up your yolks there. And really, truthfully, you don't need much more than that. A little Dijon, a little truffle oil. You're kind of good to go.
I like that. I've never thought to use truffle oil in deviled eggs, but now I will.
Delicious. It's very good. I have definitely tried these. So there's a few that are easy, kind of make-aheads and crowd pleasers and stick around kind of all day. Too,
here's one, baked egg with prosciutto and tomato.
Yeah.
The crispy prosciutto on top of the eggs.
I like this one because it's done in a ramekin or some kind of, you know, if you have little mini Le Creusets or whatever you have. You could use those, but you basically, you can take the prosciutto, you can take pancetta, you can take veggies, whatever you like. You kind of do a little butter in the bottom, put your veggies and meats in there, crack an egg into it, and then you bake it. So this one's nice, too, because it's a little foolproof. You're not stressing out over a poached egg in water. And it's a great presentation. You throw this on a plate with like a little salad or something, and people are like, whoa, what am I eating here? This
really is beautiful. And he talks about some variations, chopped cooked spinach or cooked asparagus in the bottom of the cup
with
a little cream. And then you place the egg on a bed of chopped ham, bacon, or sausage, sprinkle with a little Parmesan.
Yep. And you could throw things on top, too. A little pesto would be nice. A little, anything. Yep.
Great riff. And then there's the tasty frittata recipe.
I'm trying to find it again, but I liked this. I think I pulled this one just because I've never heard him call something a tasty frittata. Was a departure from how he usually phrases things.
Yes.
But upon reading it, this is another one I like because you could make ahead. It can hang out. It can be room temp. You can come back to it later and still enjoy it. But this one is, of course, eggs. It just has your chopped onion and potatoes are in there. So it's a frittata that's very hearty, nice hearty frittata. He uses zucchini and things and it's all done in just a skillet. So you're kind of slowly cooking it and then adding things on at the end. It goes into the oven for just a couple of minutes, but this one again feels pretty foolproof. And on the top, he's doing a little goat cheese and pepitas, which is kind of different in the frittata world. And then a beautiful little cilantro chili sauce to drizzle over it at the end. So just really bright, festive, delicious. And again, I feel like you could kind of snack on this all day.
And then spinach salad with pancetta and fried eggs.
Well, I don't know about you, but I'm a fan of the frisée lardon and poached egg salad.
It's the Garner's go-to salad.
Oh, I just love it. It's a classic. It's, if it's done right, it's so good. And if you get a nice bright vinaigrette with it.
And I must tell you, a shout out for Augie's.
Yes.
Augie's French Restaurant.
Fantastic.
They do a very good lardon salad.
And I'm so glad it's there. I feel like there was a time when I would see that on every menu I went to, and it's disappeared just a little bit, but it's really good there. I agree.
So there it is, the spinach salad with pancetta.
Kind of a riff on that. Exactly,
And then the final one in the package that, by the way, is posted now on the KSRO Good Food Hour website. You can go and print these recipes out that John Ash created. The final one's the Romesco egg salad.
Yeah, doesn't that sound good? I mean, I don't know. I love egg salad. I like that it can be a little bit of a kitchen sink egg salad. You can throw whatever you've got in there. I often throw spinach, love celery in it, love carrot in it, all that good stuff. But this one's got a little red pepper, some smoked paprika, almonds, which I love. Yeah. I don't know that I've thrown almonds.
Like a Romesco sauce.
Exactly. But he keeps it kind of chunky, so you kind of get all those little flavors in there. He didn't actually make a Romesco and then just add it in.
No.
It's kind of all the parts of Romesco with the egg and fresh parsley and all that good stuff.
It's a really wild idea.
Like, yeah.
I mean, that was John Ash.
That's my pops.
So we've got that posted right now on the KSRO website. Now, we're not ignoring folks out there that are wondering what to do with all their leftover matzo. few days left in Passover, but you're always left with a box. You're so like, what do I do? Well, the main thing you want to do is make matzah brei.
Yes, tell matzah me. Brei. Tell That's me more.
The, now, well, matzah brei is really simple. It's matzah. You put boiling water over it. You get it nice and soft, and then you drain it, and then you add the matzah to with eggs in a 10-inch skillet. Mix that together. Decrease the heat to medium-low. Make it kind of more like a custardy-type consistency.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And then when the bottom's done, you break it up, drag it around the pan, salt and pepper. It's really quick and easy. And now I got to tell you, initially it looks like something that should be in your dog's bowl. No, it does. I mean, it does. But once it's done, and the matzah part of it is crisp with the soft egg, you can do salt, pepper, of course. You can do some sour cream or even marmalades or jams.
Oh, sure. Okay.
It's endlessly versatile. But butter is the key, as so many things. Make sure there's a boatload of butter in your pan. But the thing is, you make sure that matzah is soft, and use boiling water because that'll break it up and soften. And then with the eggs, it's a great dish, matzah brei, spelled B-R-E-I. And it's the thing you do if you're celebrating Passover and you have leftover matzah. Now, your dad tried it. He did not like it. We had a big discussion, and he said, I don't know, maybe I did it wrong. For him to say, maybe I did it wrong.
Right.
And I said, well, go back and try it again. He said, I'm going to, because friends of mine rave about it.
Right.
So he said, wasn't soft enough, the matzah, I didn't drain it well enough.
Sounds a little technical. You have to know a little bit of how to get the matzah soft.
And everybody that makes it, you ask 50 celebrants of Passover, they all have a completely different, here's what you did wrong. That's the first thing they'll come up with. Give matzah brei a chance. And it's not matzah brei, it's spelled B-R-E-I. It's matzah brei.
Brei, got it.
From here, we'll go to empanadas. How about that?
Ooh, I can't wait.
National Empanada Day coming up April 8th, and we have you covered.
Centerline 33 brings pickleball and complete wellness together in Sonoma County with brand new indoor and outdoor courts, a full fitness center, cold plunge, red light therapy, and an elegant welcoming environment. It's a place to stay active and socialize. From leagues, lessons, and open play to private event bookings, team building outings, and employee appreciation events, Centerline 33 is designed for connection. Rain or shine, pickleball always happens here. Grand opening pricing now available at a huge discount. Discover more at centerline33.com.
Did you know Sebastopol Hardware has a huge pet center, including live fish, tanks, and accessories? How's your bearded dragon? What about your snake, gecko, or turtle? Reptile and amphibian diets are so important. The Sebastopol Hardware Pet Center carries heat lamps, water dishes, and dietary supplements. For feathered friends, specialized seed blends and a great selection of toys, medicated and non-medicated chicken feed too, plus a full range of food, treats, toys, beds, and care supplies for your cats and dogs. Essentials for your small critters too. Shop local and save on Super Saturdays, the first Saturday of the month, with store-wide savings from pet supplies to hardware and garden. You'll get 20% off almost everything. Seniors 60 plus also save 20% on Senior Wednesday, the first Wednesday of each month, unless the store is closed for a holiday. Sebastopol Hardware, celebrating 60 years of serving Sonoma County and proudly supporting the Sonoma County Humane Society and Compassion Without Borders. Visit online at sebastopolhardware.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Stanley Jacobs of the Jacobs Center for Cosmetic Surgery in Healdsburg, and I'm very excited to introduce you to Dr. Alessandro Cusano.
Hi, I'm Dr. Cusano, craniofacial and aesthetic plastic surgeon with extensive experience in aesthetic and reconstructive surgery of the face, as well as aesthetic surgery of the breast and body.
Dr. Cusano will be taking over here at the Jacobs Center in 2026. He is fellowship trained in three different disciplines, including craniofacial plastic surgery from the world-renowned Johns Hopkins Hospital. We're excited to welcome Dr. Cusano as he brings the latest techniques and procedures to us in Sonoma County.
Thank you, Dr. Jacobs. And if you've been thinking about an aesthetic procedure, I invite you to give me a call at the Jacobs Center or reach out online at thejacobscenter.com. I'm looking forward to meeting new patients and sharing in your personal journey to becoming your best self, both inside and out.
For more information about procedures offered by the Jacobs Center, visit thejacobscenter.com. That's thejacobscenter.com.
Decisions determine results. So which path do I want to take? Help people in need or stand on the sidelines watching? Worry about how to pay for school or have my education paid for? Push myself and learn new skills or stay the same? My decision is to serve part-time with the Army National Guard, and my results will be life-changing. What will you decide? Go to NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service.
Sponsored by the California Army National Guard. Aired by the California Broadcasters.
News, talk, community. KSRO.
In the KSRO kitchen, I'm Steve Garner, along with Emily Ashlam, and welcoming back for a return appearance, Brian Corrigan.
Yay. Yeah, I'm back. Feels good.
We had the pleasure, John Ash and I, of welcoming Brian to the show last year because we had heard such great things about his authentic empanadas and all the other fabulous food he's doing in the most innocuous location
right.
that you'd ever want to find a world-class little restaurant, and that's in a gas station area, isn't it?
Yeah, probably not one of the best places to be right now with the gas prices. But
yeah, really.
All right, people are not in a good mood when they drive in.
Yeah, but we change their mood when they leave. You know, delicious homemade food always makes me happy. I don't care what people say.
It's called Vinoma, V-I-N-O-M-A.
Yep.
Which is a contraction of something, isn't it?
It's both of my children's names. Shout out to Paloma and Vince. They're at home probably listening and
Yay.
Exciting.
Isn't that cool?
Shout out. Hey, guys.
Don't eat the Easter candy, please. All right?
Or stop eating the Easter
yeah.
candy. You're
or
not
stop.
There, right?
I so see there. You. I see you.
That's really cool to give some authoritarian direction. To your children over
scary.
The radio.
Yeah.
They're probably like, whoa.
So you must tell our listeners that didn't catch your appearance last year how you stumbled on this location.
My son was sick. He needed something to rehydrate. I ran into the gas station, and the owner was working behind the counter, which he never does, of the gas station. And he said, hey, I said, is the space available next door? And he said, yeah, it's been out of business a couple of years. And next thing you know, I'm in there making empanadas.
Oh, my
and,
gosh.
And
Did it used to be a Subway? Or
it
no?
used to be a Subway. And before that, I've heard stories of possibly a Mexican restaurant back in the day.
This is what, 5 years, 6 years ago?
Yeah, this is, I think we're going to go on, this is going to be our seventh year this
Just
year.
Just remarkable.
And before the location, you were doing catering? Were you
catering, yeah. events, and the misleading part of those is that everyone would devour these. So I didn't know if they were going to devour them, if they were paying out of pocket,
right.
you know. But all the events we did, we were running out.
I have to say that was my first thought with events is people would just come up and, you know, it's like when we've done oysters at events or something.
Gone.
And you go, man, how many do we plan for? Because if you're allowed, you're going to take as many as you can.
Exactly.
So you're at 5085 Redwood Drive. Is that correct?
Sounds right to me.
Is
yeah.
that,
in Runner Park.
Yeah, we're there.
And there's a gas station in front, isn't
so
there?
So we're in the front of the Shell gas station mm-hmm. there. We're sandwiched in between all the huge chains we've got.
Yeah.
Amy's, oh, actually, they
well,
just went out
gone.
Of business, which
yeah.
is sad. You know, we have Chick-fil-A, we have In-N-Out and all those places, Krispy Kreme, and we're in the middle of all of it. So it's kind of interesting.
You're an oasis.
Yeah, we're a foodie spot.
But I mean, in all these corporate entities where they're
right.
pumping out billions of these products
including
worldwide, here we have this little mom and pop
right.
homemade food.
Yeah.
Right there. And your wife is from Argentina, isn't
My
she?
Wife's from there. My daughter was born there. Holds a real special place in my heart. I hope to go there one day to live in my later years when the kids are out of school. It's just a super loving, beautiful country. The people are so welcoming, and it's just an experience that I think everyone should get to enjoy once in their life if you haven't been.
Had you made empanadas? You said during catering. Was this when you were married to Maria, so you knew about empanadas from her point of view as part of what she was brought up with?
So it all started when I went there the first time back in the early 2000s, and I kept coming back to at the time I was living in Miami, where you'd think, hey, there's got to be tons of great empanadas, and there weren't. And, you know, I looked all over the country as I journeyed out here to California. I always looked for them and couldn't find them. And then it was just like, hey, we need to start making these. And And I think people know how amazing empanadas are. They're just, there's so many possible flavors you can put inside them. So, you know, I hope one day they're more popular than pizza. I know it's a high reach, but I just think you can do more things with them, and they're just better. You know, you're not eating as many carbs. You're kind of streamlining whatever ingredients you have and curing it in this little flaky crust.
Right.
And then it's gone, and, you know, it's like it never happened.
Well, before you came this morning,
I
pulled out a copy of my book. This is my reference book. It's called The Latin American Cookbook. It's spectacular. Virgilio Martinez wrote this a number of years ago, and this is my go-to book when I want to learn about any Latin American food. And he writes about empanadas. They're the form of hand pies or turnovers that are now found in nearly every part of Latin America. And he goes on to say, some of the best, in my mind, are those in and around Salta, Argentina.
Yes.
Do you know Salta, Argentina?
Yes. I haven't been there. I've had a friend of mine who's a pilot bring me empanadas from there.
Come on.
And they're amazing.
How do we make this happen?
They're small, and they're delicious, and they're juicy. And, you know, empanadas, when they're made properly, they should never be dry. And, and if they're too moist or have too much fat in them, they won't cook properly. So, you know, there's an art to making them perfect.
Sure.
If you look in our boxes, you won't see grease left behind. So that's a telltale sign that, you know, there's not
they're
a...
Done
and
right.
I always picture an empanada as the kind of half moon shape, but some of the ones that you brought today are like an open-faced empanada.
Right.
Is that true? Or
so
I mean, there's a couple kinds.
Yeah, those are called canastitas. They're just an open-faced empanada.
Okay.
I don't think anyone makes them in the States. Maybe there's a couple places now, but I know that I believe I was the first person to make these here, and they're all handmade. And my wife's a master folder. She just tears through and just folds. And she's actually in Argentina as we speak, so I've been doing most of the folding.
It's a lot like dumplings, right? That there's a real art to how you fold the dumpling and how you keep all the juices inside and they don't come, and all that good stuff.
Yeah, the thing with them is they have to hold their shape.
Right.
Through the oven, and it's hard because you don't want to lose all your fillings on the side of the pan.
Right.
So, they're cool. You know, they're all empanadas. A lot of people get confused. Well, I don't really know what that one is, and it's the same thing. It's just open, and you can. They look beautiful. You know, they present almost like a beautiful pizza, if you will. But they're
really
just compact, and you know, for catering events, it's. It's just the perfect finger food. You know, a lot of times people come by the restaurant, they want to break out a knife, a fork, and they're really a finger food. Like at the end of the day, you have this compostable box, and that's it. You know, you don't need plastic silverware or anything.
Right.
Just pick them up, eat them. And the cool part about our place is, you know, when you come, you could have 20 flavors in a box and kind of go through it however you'd like. So it's not like you're just eating one flavor and that's it.
Right.
You know, you've got 6 or 7. So the best way to order when people come to our place is just order what you want and have fun with them. You know, it's a tapas concept at the end of the day.
So the dough that you use, I know that in traditional Latin American ones, they use some like corn flour and some wheat flour and a tapioca flour, all kinds of blends. What do you use in your dough?
So it varies a lot, just wheat flour. And ours are all baked. Well, I know
not
that
fried.
Varies too.
Okay.
We're not frying our stuff. I don't have a deep fryer. I mean, I love fried food, but you know, if you can make things taste good without it, it's a lot better for
yourself.
Save yourself. And these are just... I've had them both ways, and they honestly, they're delicious either way, but I like them baked personally.
And so in the restaurant, you can come in and you can order, and it's like we're looking at pizza boxes, and I really do think that's such a cool thing that, you know, I love pizza, but it is one pie, and this is like you can get a bunch of pies. So you would order by the dozen or like something, you can order as many as you want.
Just whatever you want.
And then you have seating in the restaurant?
So we used to have 3 seats when we first opened.
Sort of seating.
And since COVID, which was 2 weeks after we opened... We've been all to go, you know, 2.5 years go by, and I looked around and I was like, okay, I'll get all this into, you know, a dry storage. And then I looked, I was like, wait, I added all this equipment. Where am I going to put freezers, refrigerators, mixer, you know, all this stuff. So We do most of our business is online ordering, pickup only. We have a little patio where people come and sit.
Oh, that's
and
nice.
It's confusing, you know. They walk up and they don't know what's going on. And, and we joke around, like, how much more difficult is it going to be? Like, should I put like a little place to limbo before they come on in to get the food? Make them go through an obstacle course? Because they don't know what's going on. And I, you know, after they try the food, they're like, great. So, you know, in today's world where you're getting pointed in every direction, you know, by AI, you know, our saving grace is word of mouth.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's just what keeps us in biz.
Right, as well, that you can get them frozen and prepare at home as well.
So when I was making these back when I, before I opened the restaurant, I couldn't eat all the recipes that I was making in bulk. So I started freezing them.
Yeah, great idea.
I had stuff in the freezer for like a year. And as long as they were kept perfectly wrapped, they'd cook up pretty much the same as fresh.
Right.
So I knew I had that option, but when COVID hit, it was like, wait a second, no one wants to have anything baked necessarily right now. So we were like, let's do this. I know it works. So we had customers who were always coming for baked empanadas, and then they were coming in to take the take and bake one. So the dough's raw, the fillings are cooked.
Got it.
And if you have a convection oven at your house or any way to cook these, you know, you pop them in and you're good to go.
Nice.
You know?
I love that option. I like having things around so that if I haven't thought of anything by the end of my workday, I'm like, ah, there's something in the freezer that's
and
easy.
And is the fat you use just a vegetable oil or do you use beef fat?
So we don't use beef fat. We use butter. We use vegetable oil.
Okay.
So we use a mixture of fats.
In the article that I'm referencing, they talk about the next one, which is Tucumán-style empanadas, which is from the Argentinian town of San Miguel de Tucumán. Are you familiar with that?
I've had those as well. The cool part of each place in Argentina is there's a little bit of a difference in what's inside, whether there's potatoes, raisins, you know, I guess the city or the province kind of dictates what's inside the empanadas.
They say in Tucumán, the matambre, rolled flank steak, is the most traditional filling, though mandongo tripe, chicken, or cheese are also common. And they're served with a lemon wedge to squirt on each one. And then they talk about Bolivia. Each country has their own specialties.
Yeah, every country has a different style with their empanadas. And we see customers from all over who miss their food from their country. And whether ours are the same or not, you know, they're all different. But you know, we have customers from all over because the concept's the same. It's like a delicious food that you can grab in your hand and eat.
Right.
Like, who doesn't like that? Sign me up.
So we have the Bolivian-style turnovers, and then we have a Belizean from Belize, which is interesting, made of corn masa. They're filled with smoked fish.
Oh,
wow.
Interesting.
Yeah. I think about everything. I mean, before we opened, I was thinking every week we're going to have customer input. Put specials every week. Like, what do you guys want? The winner gets, you
how
know,
quickly did you cut that off?
Oh, as soon as I would say, you know, as soon as COVID hit, it was like, okay, like, we have to survive. But I'll tell you what, as a chef, when you lose your love for cooking because you're doing something repetitively, even though people love it and that's what they want, it's hard to find that balance, you know? And right now, I am ready to go. Like, I feel great. And I'm back to where I started. I'm putting the love into what I love to do. Even if it's 10 empanadas that are special, it doesn't matter. It's just getting out there and making something, you know, having that passion flow through me, hitting someone's, you know, hands and then their mouth. And then they're like, whoa, this is the bomb. You know, we love this. And that's what it's all about for me.
Another little bit in our history of empanadas, the Chilean meat empanadas. In Chile, empanadas are a national pastime. Upon being elected president in 1970, Salvador Allende even spoke of a revolution with the taste of red wine and empanadas.
Wow.
That's a quote. That's pretty wild. Best when made with lard and cooked in a wood-burning oven. They're everywhere from roving street vendors to train stations, cafes, to even ski resorts. And they come baked or fried, a variety of shapes, and endless number of fillings. So, and there's hard-boiled eggs, olives, raisins.
Let's
beef,
go.
Onions.
Are you guys ready? I don't want to be here anymore.
Yeah.
This
make
was
some.
Great, but, you know, we should be on the road right now and doing some research.
We'll take a break. Brian Corrigan joining Emily Ash Lamb and me, Steve Garner, in the KS Auto Kitchen. In anticipation of National Empanada Day, you can celebrate on April 8th by going to Venoma in Rohnert Park and getting your fill of homemade with love empanadas.
Your home for news, weather, traffic, talk. Sonoma County's News Talk. KSRO Santa Rosa.
Does your business need advertising but cash flow is a challenge? Then contact us at the My Sonoma Deals program. It's a cashless program based on trade. Are you a restaurant, a golf course, a boutique, car wash, bowling alley, jewelry store, or florist? There are so many categories. Contact My Sonoma Deals now to find out if your business qualifies. Just go online to mysonomadeals.com and click on contact. That's mysonomadeals.com and click on contact.
Hey, Sonoma County, George Adair here with Cross Country Mortgage, online at georgeadair.com. The real estate market is heating back up, and mortgage rates are finally coming down off their peaks, creating a window of opportunity you don't want to miss. Whether you're looking to refinance, tap into home equity, or buy your next property, we've got you covered. Get started at georgeadair.com. From conventional loans to alternative income options, I'll help you find the right fit for your home purchase or refinance goals. The market is shifting. Smart moves now can pay off big later. Let's build your strategy with a free, personalized consultation. Schedule a one-on-one meeting or call online at georgeadair.com. That's georgeadair.com. Let's get you started.
GeorgeADAIR.com. Cross Country Mortgage NMLS 3029 and GeorgeAdair NMLS number 245370. Licensing info at NMLSConsumerAccess.org. Equal housing opportunity subject to credit approval.
Divorce can turn your world upside down. Questions about your children, your home, your finances, everything suddenly feels uncertain. At Sonoma County Legal Line, attorney Alyssa Ehrlich and her experienced team help people just like you navigate the legal side of life's most personal challenges. Whether you're facing divorce, child custody decisions, support issues, or property division, you don't have to figure it out alone. As a certified legal specialist in family law and licensed since 1987, Alyssa Ehrlich understands both the emotional weight and the legal complexity of family law cases. You'll be guided with compassion, clarity, and a strong commitment to protecting your rights and your future. When everything feels uncertain, the right legal advice makes all the difference. Call 284-9626. That's 284-9626 or visit SonomaCountyLegalLine.com. Sonoma County Legal Line. Answers, support, a path forward.
Traveling can be stressful, but it doesn't have to be. Next time you're planning a trip, fly out of the Charles M. Scholes Sonoma County Airport. With quick and easy check-in, on-site parking, and direct flights to 11 destinations, flying out of STS is the perfect way to start your journey. And with its convenient location, your trip starts sooner at STS. Grab a bite to eat, a glass of wine, and enjoy the beautiful new terminal. Book your next trip today at flysts.com. STS, half the distance, twice the experience.
I'm KSRO's Jeff Woodworth with Sonoma County's most accurate, most dependable forecast. Following the fairly clear overnight, we can look to a solid mix of sunshine and clouds to give us daytime highs in the mid-80s. Later this evening, partly cloudy skies should leave us with overnight lows in the high 40s and low 50s. Looking ahead, following the weekend warming trend, showers could return as early as Tuesday evening. Depend on weather every 30 minutes on FM News Talk 103.5 and 96.9 KSRO.
Continuing our world tour of empanadas with Brian Corrigan from Venoma in Rohnert Park. He specializes in empanadas. So far, we've covered empanada history from Belize, from Chile, from Argentina, from Uruguay, from Bolivia, and now we're down to Venezuela. Have you ever tried the dogfish empanada, Brian?
I have not.
On a trip to almost any beach in Venezuela, you will likely encounter a vendor selling various types of empanadas. And cazón, most famously from Isla Margarita, is a favorite of many. They're made from the spiny dogfish, a type of small shark found in shallow waters.
I've never even heard a dogfish, let alone a dogfish.
Well, that's what you'll find in Venezuela. And then in Colombia, it's potato and peanut empanadas. Tiny fried empanadas come from the colonial town of Popayan, one of the hubs of Colombian gastronomy. And they're common throughout the department of Cacao. They're filled with pipián, a mixture of papas coloradas, a local Creole potato, with roasted and ground peanuts and other seasonings. And then we get to Chile again with the wild mushroom empanadas. Ooh, doesn't that sound
like
good?
We got a little something like that
with
here today.
Smoked chili powder called merquén, a special treat each autumn. So there's our quick world view of empanadas.
Well done, Steve.
Well,
amazing.
This is just from the book. I have to give thanks to Virgilio Martinez, who wrote the book, The Latin American Cookbook, for all this great empanada information.
Yeah.
So, Emily, what have you tried so far?
I'm over here just eating today. But the first one I tried is the bacon plum. Am I right?
Yeah, the plum and bacon. Yeah.
Yum.
A little sweet,
this
savory,
really good.
Salty.
It's really
is
good.
There cheese on this, too?
There is. There's a mixture of fontina and mozzarella cheeses.
That's really good.
It's like elevated pizza. I mean, like, I don't want to say it's, I mean, it's not pizza, but man.
I mean, I'd be happy with just this one.
Well, great. I'll take your others.
What else? Did you try another one yet?
I did. I tried, well, when you were talking about the mushroom one, this beautiful little, it looks like mini pizza, mini pie, open face pie has, you said it's porcini, right?
Yeah, mushrooms? So there's a mixture of mushrooms in this one, and it's not on our menu. It's a special we're going to have
so
this
good.
Week.
Which one is that?
This guy.
We'll just call it a mushroom cloud empanada for now. And it's fun.
Wow. It's really good.
It has a little ricotta cheese on top, olive oil, garlic, salt and pepper. And it's just the mushrooms are the star of the show. Everything else is just there to carry the mushrooms.
And this is a special this week?
Yeah.
Go get this one.
Yeah.
This one's really good. And it's and I really feel like you can tell that you were at the helm creating each of these and making sure it has the right ratio of ricotta to mushroom to everything
else. Honestly, I wanted a little more garlic on there. I was trying to be light on it. But
I could go for a little more garlic.
Yeah.
Because the garlic's really good with that ricotta.
Yeah, it is. I was worried. I anytime you kind of dial it back as a chef, you're like, oh, why didn't I put more? And then when you go over the top, you're like, what was I thinking? So it's a fine line.
And then you can't please everybody.
You can't.
Some people
and
always
small.
Ask for more and some less.
So consistency is the hardest thing. You know, when you're given the list of the empanadas from every country, which kind of amazing is we don't have an empanada for the States. I mean, they even have pasties, you know, and stuff over in the UK. So it's, why don't we have one?
You know,
what would you
make it?
I don't know. We have I didn't bring it today, but we have a chicken pot pie empanada.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like your chicken pot pie, but in an empanada. You know, that was my kind of American style one.
That'd
comes with a little cranberry
I
sauce.
I think I'm
Duncan.
In love with the artichoke empanada.
I know. That was unexpected.
I just tried this.
It's like a creamy artichoke dip something on there. It's delicious.
And that's something that's been perfected. Like that one, you know, consistency for a small business is like the most difficult thing to achieve every day. You know, it's one thing if you're flipping burgers. It's another thing if you're actually cooking recipes and doing what we do every day. There's a lot that goes into
these. And what is the mystery? This is a turnover. Something is enrolled.
So look for the letters on the crust. You see any letters?
A little letter?
What do you got there?
Mine has
CH,
a beef.
Yours is a spicy beef. And yours might be the special that we've had on the menu for a couple of weeks now. It's a Argentine chicken empanada. It has a CH on the crust. It has potatoes, peppers and onions, and green olives. And the cool part of these
CH.
Is just, you know, have your drink in one hand, have your empanada in the other hand, and no mess left behind.
How do you make these little numbers, these little
this
letters
is impressive.
On the end?
So we have like a machine that helps us make the closed empanadas.
Like presses them?
And presses that into the dough, the little lettering on it. So I have different letters.
It's really cool.
And it's just, because a lot of places they put like an ink, edible ink on top, and it's like, beef,
right?
You know, whatever, and it just looks, it doesn't look appealing.
Sure.
I don't really want to eat something
this
like that.
This is subtle.
This is, it's really pretty.
And what
it's
kid is not going to look, I found the letters
found
on the
letter.
End of this.
So I accidentally tried the,
the creamy corn.
Yeah.
And that's my wife's favorite.
Oh, yeah.
That's
incredible.
That one's fun.
Steve, I'm going to find you one of these because this is
Thank
like.
You.
I think
it's
he
like
had
corn
that
pudding. Did he
last
already have
time?
It?
Oh. He had it last time. He loved that one. Mm-hmm. It's just it shouldn't work, but it does. That's a traditional Argentine flavor right
Yum.
There. That's based off one of my favorite places in Argentina. So you've got half the menu that's really authentic, and then the other half is just, hey, what should we try right now
sure.
that's going to be good in these?
So and, can we call yeah. and order? Are you, you're there from like 10:30 until 6 at night or so every night, seven
yeah.
days a week?
We're there 7 days a week. You'll probably talk to me.
5085 Redwood Drive. What's the phone number? We want people to put it on their speed yeah. dial.
707-536-9215.
Fabulous. I'm going to try the corn one during the break. And should we move to dessert ones?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay.
Brian, I'm already there.
Brian Corrigan from Venoma is with us. And he's we're kind of doing a preemptive celebration of National Empanada Day, which is April 8th. Put this on your radar. Discover, yeah. check this new place out. You're going to love it.
The Marin Sonoma Mosquito and Vector Control District wants you to know that mosquito prevention begins at home. That's right. By simply reducing mosquito habitats and eliminating standing water, you can make a huge difference. Mosquitoes need just a tiny bit of water to complete their life cycle. So remember, always drain after the rain. Protect your loved ones from mosquito bites and potential diseases. Take action today to keep your family safe. For more information or to report a mosquito problem, visit msmosquito.org.
If you're remodeling an existing kitchen or bathroom, Cabinets 101 in Rohnert Park is your local Diamond Certified company. With a huge selection of quality wood cabinets, stainless and porcelain sinks, quartz and granite countertops to suit any kitchen or bathroom. Here's another satisfied Cabinets 101 customer.
We use Stan in Cabinets 101 for a new cabinet in our kitchen, and he perfectly matched the cabinets that were already there. Now we're remodeling our bathrooms, and Stan provided us with the cabinets, counters, and sinks. One counter wasn't exactly right, and Stan's immediate response was, bring it in, and I'll give you what you want. No questions asked. We could not be more satisfied with the customer service and the products from Cabinets 101.
0% interest, limited term financing available. Bring in your project measurements, and Cabinets 101 will even give you a free estimate on your project. Stop by the Cabinets 101 showroom today at 5665 Redwood Drive in Rohnert Park.
Hi, I'm Rachel, ultrasound technologist for Sonoma Vein. I see patients with leg symptoms such as swelling, cramping, achiness, heaviness, restless legs, itchiness, or pain. The most common thing patients say is they didn't know their symptoms could be treated and covered by their insurance plan. We pride ourselves on making patient visits convenient and educating them on what the procedures entail. Patients initially have an ultrasound, then consult with the doctor who reviews results and develops a customized treatment plan. Then Sonoma Vein handles the authorization process if their insurance requires it. My favorite thing about working here is developing relationships with our patients and getting to know them on a personal and professional level. I love seeing patients throughout their treatment say how much their legs have improved and how much better their quality of life is. If you have symptoms such as swelling, cramping, achiness, heaviness, itchiness, pain, or restless legs, Sonoma Vein would love to care for you. Call Sonoma Vein 636-8346 or visit sonomavein.com.
Traveling can be stressful, but it doesn't have to be. Next time you're planning a trip, fly out of the Charles M. Scholes Sonoma County Airport. With quick and easy check-in, on-site parking, and direct flights to 11 destinations, flying out of STS is the perfect way to start your journey. And with its convenient location, your trip starts sooner at STS. Grab a bite to eat, a glass of wine, and enjoy the beautiful new terminal. Book your next trip today at flysts.com. STS, half the distance, twice the experience.
News, talk, community, KSRO.
Yeah.
Yeah, eating empanadas on Saturday morning. Couldn't be better on the Good Food Hour, America's longest running radio food show with Emily Ash Lamb and me, Steve Garner. And before we let Brian Corrigan go, you have to mention the chortapan sandwich. I know you didn't get a chance to bring this in, but talk about that.
It's just a simple Argentine sausage on a French baguette with homemade chimichurri. That chimichurri is over there for you to try. You know, empanadas aren't really eaten with sauces typically nowadays. It's more common. The younger generations are eating more sauces in Argentina with their food. But try a little bit of that chimichurri with your traditional beef there, okay, if you can.
That chimmy's really good. What's in it that's so bright?
So it's super simple. It's just parsley, garlic, oregano, red wine vinegar.
Probably, maybe it's that little vinegar. I don't usually try it. It's
the
really
balance.
Good.
The
vinegar.
Yeah, so that's how chimichurri should taste, really. Yum. I mean, that's exactly, it's just super traditional. And, you know, it's weird as I don't see it in, I see it in grocery stores, but mm-hmm. it's all like shelf stable and right. it doesn't, I don't know, it's not really
yeah.
chimichurri
in my mind.
It doesn't
taste like this.
No.
No, this like, it looks a bit like pesto, but yeah. Completely different flavor. Yeah, really tasty.
Well, I'm going to go by to get the chorapan sandwich because yeah. he says, I'm going to bring you this time. Didn't bring it. That's
but look what all he brought us.
Oh, no. I've got to find something to complain about. So the chorapan sandwich, it's because it's chorizo, right? Isn't that why
yeah.
it's called chorapan? Chorizo and pan.
And when you go to Argentina, exactly. That's exactly what it means, choripan, like chorizo, bread. And when you go to Argentina, the hardest thing to do is not eat 100 of them at an asado. So when you're at an asado, don't be a rookie. Wait for the better cuts of meat. The Argentines they're going to just bring you the best cuts of meat. Mm. They want you to feel like, you know, $1 million. They're going to all cater to you like you know, they've known you your whole life. They just want to give you so much love. So, they're not trying to fill you up on those. They want to give you the best stuff, so just maybe eat one and hold on for dear life because they eat a lot of meat down there.
And tell us about the al pastor,
the beef,
right?
One, this was the beef one.
That's the beef one that's with the chimichurri. So yeah. good.
Oh, I love that.
Very traditional.
And that's Argentina.
Next one, the next one
is the al pastor.
Yeah. So that the
covered in yummy sauce.
The traditional beef with the chimichurri like that. It's just taking you right to Argentina. Same with the creamy corn. But the al pastor is just something that I created. That one takes like about 3 days for me to make. Mm. You know, I marinate the pork for a couple days and then I slow roast it. And it has its two sauces on top. It has a salsa verde and chipotle aioli. So,
yeah.
It's,
and pineapple.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of.
That's so unexpected.
It's really good.
It's really good.
It's fun.
Yeah.
Now, so. I'm ready for dessert.
Okay.
Let's do it.
He's got them.
What do we
and
have?
You have one.
You got a blueberry cobbler right there on the top.
Yep.
And it's those are just amazing any time of
day. By the way, do you sell any of these sauces?
We do. We sell the chimichurri. Nope. We sell our chipotle aioli. You know, people like the sauces, and I'm not, you know, we were running out of it. So at one point, I was giving it to everyone, and then I'm like, well, we got to account for this somehow because, you know, people are just drinking it like soup.
Yeah.
Did you try the blueberry?
Not yet.
Okay, try the blueberry.
Well, you talk while I
I was looking at it going, it looks beautiful. It looks blueberry.
Yeah.
But then it's like really good when you try it. Steve's like tipping back in his chair.
This is like my dream blueberry pie.
It really is. It'd be really good with like a scoop of vanilla ice cream. You could serve it
When customers used to come in, I just would go up to them nonchalant like, hey, do you want a scoop of vanilla on top of that?
Oh, yeah.
And I'd drop it on.
Nice.
And they'd go crazy. I mean, it's illegal now in California to do that. It's too delicious.
Oh. I thought you were serious.
And like an April Fool's joke.
That was my April Fool's.
And then you also have one just like, is this apple?
That is actually a peach cobbler, which isn't on the menu. We do have the apple crisp, but I didn't bring it today. So I'm just trying to, you know, have you guys come back holding out on the chori pan and the apple crisp, you know.
But you do like a Grabenstein apple crisp in this summer sometime?
Well, I'm sorry, what was that?
A Grabenstein apple crisp.
Oh, of course. We use fresh ingredients, local stuff whenever we can. You know, there's an abundance of stuff that grows here. It's really, you know, you put it to use. My yard's, we've got a bunch of apple trees in my yard. I mean, we've got a lot of stuff growing. So our lemons, in the yard are going off right now, and that's a great source of lemon juice for a lot of things. So,
do you ever do a lemon pie? Have you ever done that?
No, but I'll put it on my list. And I love these ideas, and that's what empanada day is to me. It's like, what can't you put in?
Okay, coconut cream.
Coconut cream. Steve's favorite. Coconut cream pie.
That's my favorite.
Yep, we know this.
So last night I put a brisket on my smoker, and we were about 2 hours short of the rest for me to get it in an empanada for you guys. But it's
just reason to come by.
What can't you put in an empanada? Yeah. And that's why they're just awesome. And we should have our own. You know, in South America, you know, they consider it America. You know, you have the Panama Canal, which is man-made. It's America. You have the United States. You have South America. We're just America. So we need to come up with something for the United States. Yeah. We need to have our staple empanada. And I guess it's up to me to do it.
I think it's up to you.
Well, you know, it's July is National Hot Dog Month. So.
I was going to say, is it a cheeseburger empanada?
I'm not going to go into the hot dog world. I saw the pictures of the nine hot dogs for each inning with the nine beers, and I thought by the end of those nine innings, I'm not sure.
I've got one for you. Okay. Pastrami.
A pastrami one. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, no, you're not all jumping out of your seat, Emily. I guess
I think we're all addicted to refined sugars. I'll take my apple pies and my blueberry cobblers. Yeah. You know, those are totally non-traditional. For instance, my wife still hasn't tried them. It's just
the
not
the sweet ones. She,
the
hasn't
sweet
tried.
Ones. She won't. Well, all of
she
her
is
friends,
missing
fam-
out.
Yeah,
these are great.
I know. But in a you know at the same time. If you don't know, you better not have them, because once you do have them, you're going to just eat those nonstop.
I have to say the sweet ones kind of surprised me. Like, they looked good. They looked – but they're really tasty.
Okay, I'm going to pitch one more idea.
Okay, let's do it.
Shot down twice.
No, no. I like the lemon idea.
What about a fig tart?
Ooh, that'd be good.
A fig tart, for sure. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It would work great with a little goat cheese or something
Nailed
in there.
Nailed it, Steve.
Okay.
Nailed it.
Then I'm going to quit now. That's the end of the show. Actually, it is the end of the show. Brian Corrigan, where are you located again?
5085 Redwood Drive, Rohnert Park, Venoma Tapas, Argentina. Thank you guys for
having me.
I really
so
appreciate
much.
It.
7 days a week.
Yep.
I don't see how
He's
this guy.
Hard working.
Honestly.
He's tired.
Is it 10:30 till 6?
10:30 to 6, yes.
Really?
I'm crying.
Yeah. I'm in awe of what you've accomplished
in
your
too.
Family. Happy Easter tomorrow.
Yeah.
Thank you. You too.
Thank you so much.
Emily, we'll see you next week.
We'll see you then.
Thanks, everybody. This has been fun, and you can have fun too by going to the same place that we are tasting these empanadas from in Rohnert Park, California.
Listen to The Good Stuff with the Sonoma County Wine Growers every Saturday from 1 to 2 p.m. on KSRO. I'm your host, Virginie Boone, and every week I'll be joined by the president of Sonoma County Wine Growers, Carissa Cruz. We chat with members of Sonoma County's vibrant wine and agricultural community and share their stories. Tune in every Saturday afternoon at 1 o'clock for The Good Stuff on KSRO.
Learn more at SonomaWineGrape.com.